I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, and I welcome Jeremy Zakas. Jeremy Zakas of the John Batchelor Show. More than two decades, Jeremy first came to me for the 9/11 crisis in New York City and the United States. Jeremy's in Australia. He's served Australia for many decades, and we're now calling him because Australia always in the news with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's either on fire, or there's a drought, or there's a humongous flood that's sweeping away farmhouses, or there's a plague of mice, a plague of snakes, a plague of reptiles. There's always some excitement, and an extreme excitement. Jeremy's in the eastern part of the continent. And yet the farmland is said to be afflicted with all of these things at once. Jeremy, a very good morning, good evening to you in eastern Australia. Let us begin with the immediate problem of the flooding. I remember several years past we had a conversation about the floods all through the east. Is this routine? Do the farmers just shrug it off and say it's part of the price of farming here? Good morning to you.
G'day, John. It is great to be back speaking with you. And you're right, we have had the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's either floods, it's fires or plagues. And right now we've got floods once again. The farmers down here are being absolutely inundated with water. We've had up to 2 feet of rain in the recent days per day, which equals just thousands and thousands and millions of gallons of water sweeping over our land. But you know what, John? The farmers are resilient. Of course, it's a bit of an attitude of no worries, mate. They're getting on with it. But truly, John, it is really a devastating sight to see. I was very lucky just yesterday. I was able to get up in the air over the communities of New South Wales, one of the hardest hit areas of Australia. And the waters are there. It is just absolutely inundating suburbs of Sydney, suburbs of southern New South Wales. And basically, we haven't seen floods of this proportion before. And as you can imagine, this is off the back of a year where we've had COVID, where the restrictions have already upset the communities, have already caused a lot of heartache. And now we're seeing this. So this is just something, another thing, on top of everything else that could possibly happen to you in Australia.
Now, help me here. How can there be both a drought and floods at the same time? Or are they? Have I got them out of order? Did you have a drought and now you have floods? Is that it?
We did, John, we did. No, you've got it in exact order there. Not less than 2-3 weeks ago, some of these areas in New South Wales and the northern state of Queensland were actually in drought. But then we had this monsoonal rain band which came across Australia, coming from the eastern side of Australia through to the central areas, that dumped a large amount of rain. So all these areas that were in drought for, some of them, up to 12 months, had absolutely no rain. The soil was loose. The soil was just not able to retain its rigidity on the ground. That was washed away in this recent monsoonal rain, which then led to the flooding, which has now led to the standing water. So you could say that the drought actually contributed now to the floods being much, much worse than they probably would have been if we had have had natural rainfall. Again, it's Australia, so we do from time to time get one disaster after another, but as you mentioned in the intro, just a year ago, we were in the middle of a fire season too. And a lot of the areas that had the fires also had a lot of dry ground still left over from the fire. So the ash and the silt and the loose soil, this rain has just compounded that problem and caused the runoff of water into catchment areas around New South Wales, Queensland, so the major cities of Sydney and Brisbane. And that just really, really pushed these floods over the top.
Yes, I read from Science Magazine, Australia is always in the news, Jeremy, that the fires of last year were record-breaking releases of aerosol into the atmosphere, the stratosphere of the Southern Hemisphere. I'm reading from Science Magazine. The early months of 2020 showed record-breaking levels of aerosol optical depth over the Southern Hemisphere. Apart from the tropics, monthly aerosol optical depth values over much of the Southern Hemisphere exceeded the average by more than 3 standard deviations. The anomaly is attributed to a combination of the intensity and location of the Australian bushfires. The fires took place south enough where the tropopause altitude is relatively low within the mid-latitude cyclone belt. This location allowed for deep convection over and downwind of the fires, which transported the smoke to the stratosphere, where its lifetime is an order of magnitude longer than it would have been in the lower atmosphere. Now, this is all very careful language, adds up to this. Your fires were so intense, they made the Southern Ocean cold. You are the Southern Ocean. You affected it directly. So last year, you were shaking the planet. This year, you had a drought followed by a flood, and we know we haven't gotten to the payoff yet. The payoff is the mice, Jeremy, mice. These are not native mice. These are mice that were brought in by your progenitors, I guess the people from Great Britain and Europe. Mice, mice. Have you got mice in your room now, Jeremy? They're said to be all over Australia.
No, luckily I can report, John, that our room does not have mice at the moment, but luckily we are elevated, and you're right. Mice are now in fake proportions across the, not only across the floodplains, but across the drought-affected areas that still didn't get the rain. And it's mind-blowing, John. When you think of mice plagues, you do think of, you know, a lot of mice running around, but these are absolutely just looking like a grey sea of mice running across the land. So these numbers are huge. And the thing is, they're not going away. These plagues have been here for several weeks, even months in some areas. And they just seem to be compounding, getting larger, getting larger. And these floodwaters are now corralling them into smaller areas. So you can just imagine that they are not just one mouse deep. They will be jumping over each other. They're 2-3 mice deep. And it's just horrendous. But also, I should mention as well, it's not just the mice. We also have the native animals that are trying to get to higher ground from the floodwaters. So you're getting snakes, you're getting lizards, you're getting kangaroos, you're getting koalas, you're getting mice and the native animals on top of it. So it's absolutely, all I can say, John, it's absolutely bedlam here in Australia.
You've got mice flood. You've got mice being driven by the floods to high ground. You've got snakes and reptiles being driven by the floods to high grounds. Jeremy, I can imagine your airports are generally closed because of the virus. There are severe restrictions about traveling to and from Australia. But good heavens, where do people escape to, Jeremy? Where is their safe? I can see them running screaming through the streets. It's too much. It's way too much.
Oh, John, that's true. And unfortunately, you're right. The virus has actually locked us into Australia, basically. No one can escape. Everybody who can do is heading into the cities, but there is really no place to go. People are having to just deal with the problem. The farmers, I mean, while they're being inundated, they're doing their best to get rid of the mice, get rid of the snakes, get rid of the floodwaters as well, and look after their cattle. But, John, we're really locked in here. We're basically a sea-locked country.
Jeremy Zakas, what is to be done? The virus is lifting in the United States. We're going back to work. Are you seeing plans to put you for people to go back to the cities, for people to resume normal life? You have the vaccine now. Is the vaccination level such that the country is confident?
Yes, short answer is, John, that the vaccination level is in effect and going very well. And Australia still has very, very low numbers of the virus. So in most parts of the major cities, it is business as normal, but social distancing remains in effect.
Sure.
Mask wearing remains in effect. And most people are able to get back to work. But when I say most people, that does not include the restaurants and the hospitality industry. They're the ones hardest hit. So while general office workers, people who have jobs that don't deal with the general public are able to get back to work, but anyone who's in the entertainment industry is still under tight restrictions, and that's where they're hurting most. But the good news is the virus really is taking effect. The virus does appear to be having a very positive and it seems to be the solution right now to bring us back to normality. But you know what? I think like everywhere else in the world, we're still probably at least a year, maybe 2 years away from getting even close to what we had before.
Jeremy Zakas of The John Batchelor Show and Other Pursuits These Last Decades. He is in Australia with the mice, with the snakes, with the reptiles, with the drought that was replaced by the flooding, NOAA's level flooding, and not to forget the wildfires that changed the stratosphere of the southern continents, of everything along the oceans in the southern hemisphere. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.